I am not the bad guy. I am not the bad guy. I am not the bad guy, not the bad guy. No.
Good evening and welcome. Our announcer seems to have stepped down for tonight so as to give me a chance to introduce something new. I've got some billing problems I'd like to unload, so I hope you don't mind as much as he did. Now settle in, my trundle files. We've got some stories to tell.
I'm not the bad guy you once thought I was. I am not the one who drove you into dark and lost. You cannot decipher who's foul and who is fair.
Welcome to Velda's Movie Trivia Vault, where I tease you with bits of film antiquity. Last week's question was, in the film Meet Me in St. Louis, how did director Vincent Minnelli get child actress Margaret O'Brien to cry on cue when they filmed the scene where she smashes up the snowmen? And the answer is, he told her that he was going to shoot her dog, or that it was already dead, and her mother played along. I hope that didn't torment you too much. Until later, Trundle Files.
Like a running back, I jump into your head, knock out the old crud and give you the new rub. I am trying to kill your ignorance, your arrogance, your lack of sense. I am trying to...
Good evening, Trundle Files. This is Mr. Arm coming to you from the attic of Trundle Manor, where we do the Trundle Cast. Trundle Cast is our attic-based after dark delve into all things Trundle Manor. Evil, creepy, spooky, and demented. There's some swearing and some terrible things on this Trundle Cast. Now, right before this, we heard the answer to Velda von Minx's Movie Trivia Vault. I hope that you got that right without having to look up anything on Google or IMDb, you cheating bastards. At the end of this Trundle Cast, we're going to have yet another question for you. Feel free to write in the answer. If you write in the answer, I'll read your name on the air. How about that? Also, don't forget to write in some stories of Trundle Manor and your experiences here. I'll read those on the air, too. So we've got up this week is something coming from our response from the empath that we heard last Trundle Cast. We had a kid on who said that he was channeling Charlie, the Trundle Manor ghost. And these reactions that you're going to hear are coming from the Trundle Files that reside at Trundle Manor oftentimes, mostly just to have a few drinks and to pal around with us. But it's fun to hear other people's reactions and to feel like I wasn't crazy for getting mad at him for getting so mean with Velda. Now, these guys don't hold anything back, so this is a little bit fun, a little bit entertaining, and I'm quite happy to hear this one. I giggled a whole bunch when I had to re-listen to it. So listen to that, and right after we're going to have the roundup, which is myself and Velda talking about what just happened and how everybody reacted. I think it was fun. We've had some crazy things happen this week for the Trundle Manor, but we're going to get into that a little bit later, possibly on the next Trundle Cast, which maybe I'll have up a little bit sooner than later. We'll see what happens. So look forward to that. And also, we've got some things coming up, which is Velda von Minx's Movie Trivia Vault, full podcast, full Trundle Cast, just of the Movie Vault. That's going to be her and her friends, minus Mr. Arms, so he doesn't talk over everybody. And that intro that you were listening to before, that wasn't our normal announcer, I don't think. In fact, that was this large gentleman standing behind me, threatening my life. I don't mind it. I'm used to having my life threatened. Although he does have some pretty good ideas on what to actually do to me.
I'm gonna rip off your legs.
You know, everybody's threatened to rip off my legs. I'm not too worried about that. I don't know your name, sir, and I don't really care. I'm just gonna continue with this Trundle Cast, and hopefully we can get through it, I guess, without my legs being forcibly removed and shoved down my gullet. He's telling me that he wants to do some villain Problems, which is a short little thing that I think I might end up recording and using as a promo for the Trundlecast. So listen for that in the middle of the Trundlecast. So grab a glass of absinthe, sit down in your own parlor, and pretend that you're experiencing the manor just for yourself. Enjoy.
Will I ever get to heaven? Good Lord, will I ever get to heaven?
Welcome everybody back to the Trundlecast. I hope that you guys enjoyed that odd bit of drunken debauchery and yelling that just happened. I know that it was a little bit to get through, and we appreciate anybody putting up with that garbage, much like the people in the room today that put up with it in person, and I got to see the cringes in real life. So with me, as always, is Velda von Mings.
Hello.
And if you guys want to go around the room and say whatever name that you feel like saying, feel free. Somebody pick it up.
I'm going to go by Caster today. A new surname given to me by Mr. R.
Sounds good.
Once and all is Billy, a pleasure.
Hmm? I'm Kashmira.
Good to have you.
Jason, nice to meet you all.
And?
Joe.
Now, these guys came on a last-minute whim, and I think that was very nice of them.
That was great. It's fun having such a diverse group that aren't normally together.
Yeah. I think the original idea for this specific podcast was to have somebody who fancied themselves as a ghost whisperer of some sorts. And we got bailed on a little bit, and I think it worked out a bit better because I think I would have been even more embarrassed.
This is more fun. I think some of these people are paranormally inclined or liked cringing at that. So, you know, either way.
Yeah. So what did you guys think? I know that you're bursting at the seams to say the horrible things that you have
to
say.
Yes, what did we overall think from that horrible interview?
Feel free to talk over each other. I don't care.
Polly, I know you're bursting.
Oh god, this guy just destroyed me. He really did. I just kept coming back to the term Ghost Lorax. Don't worry, I'm here to speak for Charlie. He can't represent himself. Fuck you. No, sorry, that wasn't me. That was Charlie. He loves you, but he wants you to go fuck yourself.
That is pretty much verbatim what happened.
Yeah, just about.
Oh,
does the ghost have Tourette's? No.
I don't have Tourette's. The ghost has Tourette's.
Now, what do you guys think about the idea that he thought that we were drunks and we needed to handle that?
As someone who has witnessed some debauchery here on several occasions,
time to break.
Well timed. But as someone who's witnessed some stuff, you know what? Sure, there's drinking, but you know, everyone should, you know, handle their own monkeys, handle their own shit. And, you know, I also think, quite frankly, someone just coming in, even to purport as a ghost talker and say, oh, you drink too much, it's a little overstepping some boundaries and then some. Like,
but,
yeah,
but
qualify it a little.
But he was channeling Charlie at the time.
If it was genuine from Charlie, like, I'm willing to give more leverage to the dead than to the living. And maybe Charlie was trying to be a father figure, and I like what you guys do, but don't go nuts and don't drink yourselves to death. But if it was from this kid, fuck you. Don't tell me what to do.
The guy admitted he was a sociopath, which immediately kind of raises every hackle on my back. I mean, seriously.
He totally discredited himself at the end when he said that.
He started crying.
Sobbing.
I'm sorry. Sociopaths don't do that unless it's on purpose.
And you guys got a lot more stuff that we didn't catch even on the first go round about the sociopath and him being an atheist, right?
I think he did say that too.
Kashmir brought that up first. That was the first time I heard it, even though we just re-listened to it.
Yeah. Furthermore, he came across as very arrogant. There was, for someone who's being an atheist, to not have any humility or to even just be like, well, yeah, I'm having this thing talk through me. If you're an atheist and you're truly not believing in anything, either you're not going to say anything and just say that's a bunch of bullcocky, or you're going to be like, I don't know what's going on. Oh my God, this is crazy. Or
there were a couple moments, and it was hard to tell because of the volume for some of it, but some of the moments he did kind of just... watching him, he slapped himself in the face and said, oh, what the fuck? Like, what was that? Like, he played up maybe the whole I don't know what's happening to me, but it didn't, not as much as an atheist should have.
It's like, to be fair. I'm an atheist in the sense that I don't believe in God, but I do also, I don't necessarily don't believe that there are, you know, are the imprinting of people who are gone still around us. I don't necessarily disbelieve that. I mean, I like to, you know, I like proof. I like to see things, yeah. Hear things, you know, to believe them. But, like, I don't know. When a lot of people throw in, you know, oh, I'm an atheist as a disclaimer, almost, that doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah, I think if you actually heard someone talking to you from the afterlife, you'd be a little less of what you'd consider an atheist to
right.
some extent.
But it has nothing to do with God.
You'd believe in something, though, wouldn't you?
Or you think you're going insane, but regardless, you know...
Yeah, maybe at that moment you don't know what you believe. Like, if you were super Christian, you wouldn't go in and say, I'm a Christian, but I'm hearing ghosts. Like, why? Why need to say it at all?
It's like a Christian might say, I'm speaking in tongues, and an atheist might say, oh boy, I need professional help.
Right.
Oh, hi, I'm Tyler the Ghost. I filled my house up with gas. I blew my fucking face off. But, you know, I really should cut down on drinking.
Now, if he presented it by saying, oh, the ghost of Bill W. is standing behind me, and he says you need to lay off the booze, that might have sat a little better with me than a man who supposedly filled his home with gas, trying to kill himself, and probably take the rest of the neighborhood out with him. I mean, let's get real. Gas leaks are not localized things.
That's what we assume going on, yeah.
Should he have any kind of psychic or whatever ability, I'm sure that if you come in this house, you can sense the amount of drinking that has gone on underneath its roof.
Yeah.
And maybe from that deduced that it's all from you two and that you guys need to slow the fuck down.
The spirits of our spirits.
But meanwhile, there's, you know, 20, 30 people here a week, you know, so on and so forth.
Sure.
And maybe that gets divided up between two people, and that's... probably excessive.
We're taking the blame for all those
that
idiots.
Come to a
what
seance
the hell?
Or
yeah,
a
you're taking
12 step maybe.
I know, if you're taking my blame alone, you can be labeled an alcoholic.
I guess the thing that kind of gets me is one who is a former cult member and belonged to a cult where the woman claimed that she had spirits talk through her. I personally kind of say, you know, if you're going to have a spirit talk through you, at least change your voice or make it, because his voice didn't really change much.
Oh, you wanted theatrics.
Right. Except that one time.
Yeah. Where he suddenly realized, oh shit, I guess I better like change my voice.
It was an afterthought.
Yeah. What was he saying when his voice changed? I think I missed it.
I thought it was just some exclamatory.
It was
like,
let him talk, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was sort of Colonel Sanders-y.
Yeah.
As far as I know, Charlie isn't Southern in any way, shape, or
form. I do remember what you're talking about. That seemed like more of a schizophrenic switch, though.
Well, yeah, he's
like,
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he just hearing it, I can picture his head just tilting to one side.
Eyes roll back in his head.
I really didn't even catch that part, honestly.
I didn't either.
I thought it was Anton when I first
heard it. Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
He was like, that was not
that
me. I'm
like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
What the hell is that term when they just start spotting off glossasaria or some shit?
There is a term for that, yeah. Is it the thing when you go into a coma and you wake up speaking a different language you didn't know how to speak? Is that related to that? Never mind.
My vocabulary is not that wide, sorry.
I think I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember the word.
But if you're going to be channeling a ghost, essentially, I suppose that's speaking in tongues. The most he had to say was... shut up, bitch.
He was going that way.
If your tongue's moving, you're speaking in tongues, aren't
you?
In one tongue.
Yeah. You can do things with tongues without speaking.
Oh, wow.
This is degenerating.
Trying to break.
Very fast. Yeah, trying to break.
All right.
Fortunately, I've switched over to water for once. There's too many people in here, and I already feel enough of an alcoholic, so...
Well,
it has nothing to do with what he said. It had to do with my grasp of the situation as
Charlie
it was happening on that. Yeah, right. I think the thing that bothered me the most was his exclamations. as opposed to actually saying anything that meant anything coming from Charlie. It sounded like most of the stuff that when he was saying something that meant something was just coming from him as a person being in this house for, you know, a couple hours, which anybody can grasp all of our horrible situations.
If being of his disposition and being a director, it's easy to create things like that, you know, and come up with a story possibly. You know, I'm not discrediting anything, but I'm just saying, being of his nature, it's a lot easier for him than us, and I'm sure each one of us could come up with some crazy story immediately. And
one of the things he said very initially into the recording about Rachel, because he seemed to like to pick on Rachel.
A little bit,
about her being very saturn sweet. You know, like, he must have seen something in the house.
Maybe.
And just, like, latch on that and was like, you're going to get the diabetes.
I mean, I don't think he was in the hallway. It looks like it's supposed to look like it's made of candy.
Well, I don't think he was talking about my cakeaholism. I think he was talking about the way I give tours and I'm just too sweetsy and cutesy with people. Which, like...
Well, that's your nature in general. I mean, you've always been that way. It has nothing to do with tours or, you know, his specific things.
And I hate that that's true, that it's easy to have that telephone voice like you're at work and pretend that you don't hate whatever the fuck's going on.
I just think that you don't actually hate things.
Everybody does that in every job they have, all over the world, every service or any job where it means you have to talk to people.
You put on a face.
But generally, that is one of my character flaws. I admit that. I am a pleaser. I am somebody who, even if I'm having a shitty time, I try and make sure everyone's happy. But, you know, I'll take my show notes. I'll take my director's criticism for my performance.
The thing is, like, yes, let's invite people into our house, and then if we don't like them, just be shitty to them. That's a good way for us to...
Yeah, that's not a solution for me to admit that I don't want... It is an option.
if you want to keep this place open for business.
He was also exaggerating. I don't hate every tour that comes. I don't get hateful. I don't hate all children. 9 out of 10 is a ridiculous amount. I would have gone mental by now if I hated that much of my life. Everyone gets tired.
This is your home. You always have the option to stop giving tours if you really hate it, but you don't, because part of you enjoys doing it and showing off your home.
What I hate the most is the anticipation of them coming.
Yeah.
Once it's happening...
Not knowing what kind of people you're going to get.
Yeah, exactly. And once it's happening, I like what I do, and I think it's really fucking cool, even if I have done 8 of them in a day, that it's neat to be able to talk to people about this kind of thing and get money for it and meet new friends that way. Like, I don't... At the end of the day, I don't hate it the way I was made out to hate. I'm not a monster.
No.
Are you a monster? Or does Charlie think you're just...
I just play
monster.
One on TV. That's all.
I think what I want to touch on before this gets way too out of hand is what I told these guys earlier before we came upstairs was, and I should have saved it for this so I didn't have to reiterate, but what happened afterwards is what I wish that I had been recording, because... It got incredibly emotional downstairs because there was some issue of him taking the only photograph of Charlie that we have, folding it in half and putting it into his wallet. After that, I think I forced him to hand over his wallet, and then I stole his ID.
Which we still have.
And told him that I'm keeping it, which was my retort for, you know, don't take
don't
shit
steal from
me,
from
you know.
Me,
and
we don't tell a dirt on him.
Well, I think that it was... I think it was more like, well, if I find anything else missing from the house, then I got this guy's address, ID, and, you know, at least I have something from him, you know?
Clearly he's latching to something. Who knows what else he already latched onto.
Right.
Yeah.
Physically. And now, to be fair, that was 3 a.m. after you could tell how drunk and weepy we got at the end. The end of the night got really intense and maybe shouldn't have quite ended that way, but that is how it naturally ended and whatever.
Yeah. But, so... on a whole, like, how do you guys think,
do you think there is a Charlie, and does he give tours to the dead the way we give tours to the living?
Even past what this guy said, like, do you think...
I'll let someone else go first. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I will fully admit, me, Kashmira, I do a lot of paranormal tours. I do a lot of stuff. I am a skeptic, but I've experienced a lot of stuff. You come into this house... There's definitely something or some things here, but there's a lot of memories. There are a lot of things. I can't say that Charlie has ever come to me or talked to me or that type of thing, but there is a natural heaviness that I say, oh, that's interesting. Okay. And so, yes, I mean, with a house with a history, there's always something that is imprinted, but it doesn't mean that everyone's trying to talk from the dead. Sometimes it just means that it's, I look at sometimes ghosts as being something that is just a vibration that has never left. It's like seeing a VCR tape on repeat, and you're just seeing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I totally agree with that, and I definitely think that, like, all, everything that you have, you know, because I do the same thing. I collect little weird things and stuff like that. Everything has its own weird, strange energy to it that can collect and build up. But on the other end of that is the way I think, if you look at weird, you know, whatever, quantum physics, I don't know how you want to label it, but just the fact that he thought of it makes it exist in some realm. So it doesn't mean it's real, but in someone's mind, there's now, seven people now who have that image in their head that now
you're gonna think
on,
about it now,
and then
you're
everybody
gonna...
who listens to this now echoes on.
So feeding the energy
so
of an idea,
what
you manifest.
Should there not
it,
be something,
it,
you
yeah.
might actually yeah. self-manifest something that might have been there in the beginning, and you might have been sensitive to it, or it might be all bullshit, and now there's just a stigma to it.
Sure.
So it can go 50-50 either way all the time.
Which there are laboratory studies where they've manifested. Kind of like spirits, like they've done parapsychological research where they've manifested something and they all thought that they could feel it.
That's
so,
very cool.
I mean, who knows? Maybe you're just a perfect parapsychological laboratory, like just waiting
it's
to happen.
Charlie's plan the whole time.
It's just exactly.
It's just great. It's just spread out there. And since this house isn't particularly old, it's from like the 20s. It was built in the 20s.
1910s.
Okay. Like, but even
tens.
Even then, even with that, like Charlie's death is probably the most violent thing that's happened in this house.
I would
house.
Say
like,
so.
You know, in terms of, you know, an impact for it. Death.
That's fair.
But obviously death is the most stressful thing that can happen in any
energy
person's
wise,
life,
yes.
energy-wise, and the people who are left behind to deal with the ramifications of the death. And, you know, if there is some imprinting in this house, it's probably from that, and probably from Charlie. So it makes sense that if there is imprinting left in this house, it's from him. But at the same time, I find it really hard to believe that he was, like, behind this guy. That he chose this guy out of all the people who come through this house, who love you guys, who want nothing more than for this
it
house to be awesome.
It did seem odd.
He chose this guy to be like, psst, hey, you seem cool.
Although I will say that if you're going to choose anybody to speak through, it should be a sociopath or psychopath. Because
he's not a sociopath.
Well, whatever he is. But he definitely had something missing behind his eyes, which...
I mean, his ID. There's something
like
weird about the eyes.
Yeah.
Eyes of a shark.
Something missing.
See, they're missing or miswired.
And that, you know, that's not specifically speaking towards his person. I only met him once, so this was, you
right.
know, you can, you, it's hard to immediately count somebody when they're drinking with you how they are. I mean, you say that that's.
We don't like to judge immediately.
You like to say yeah. that's your, like, the divining rod of when you meet people and how they actually are is through drinking. But I know that, you know, I have different levels of who I am, you know, and it doesn't necessarily mean that's who I actually am inside just because I'm drinking and come out that way.
Well, I also think it's interesting that if Charlie chose some random person to talk through, that it's somebody that we don't know and have never met and would have no reason to meet. Like he said, he heard about us, according to him, heard about us 2 hours before he came and was here to shoot B-roll for a white rapper music video. Somebody we never would
which
have had a reason to talk
didn't
to.
Happen, so.
Which did not happen
might
as of this
so
recording.
I've taken a lot of drugs in my days. And I can tell you that shit can trigger other things in your head.
Sure, weird flashbacks or whatever, but as opposed to somebody that we've been hanging out with or, like, you know, has been our friend for years and all of a sudden, hey, by the way, your ghost is talking to me, that I wouldn't believe. I would honestly be more inclined to believe a stranger because I don't know, but that's just me. Sure.
Now, as somebody who I think, other than Polly, Joe, you might have been the next person who's been here the longest at Trundle Manor. And
Jason's
you.
Probably been here the
Has
longest.
He been?
Longest.
Have you been, Jason?
Jason was here years and years
I
ago.
I don't remember any kind of
been
shit.
Here for
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. Then Joe is the quietest member. I'd like to get your take on it because we don't want to talk over you the entire time.
I'm just going over some things that the guy had said, like, if you've ever been to Trundle Manor, this ghost is directing me to find an object, and there's no bigger needle in a haystack thing than trying to find one particular object. I'm thinking, you're looking at all this stuff just glancing around the house. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here. You look at the walls, obviously, there's probably more than likely going to be at least one photograph of this guy hanging on the walls somewhere, if you have one. So, it very easily could have been a guess of his that there was a photograph of this guy. If not, then he was SOL.
Yeah.
Mm.
Maybe I should explain a little bit, too, about his whole object thing, because I don't know if that came across, if we really talked about that in the interview with the kid. So the whole you've got to find this object thing is basically what happened is we have a security camera in the parlor that is connected to the internet. We have several others in the house that only we can view from our phones, but that one is live and online. And this kid kept talking about the exploitation of ghosts and all that stuff, and that if you try and do a ghost hunter or whatever, they won't be susceptible to showing themselves. And Charlie told this kid, you'll see this object, or you'll know it when you see it. And being a director, he realized that it was the camera. He was being pointed towards that corner of the room. That was his purpose of coming back the second time that evening. And Anton, Mr. Arm, Anton, whatever, was in the house and turned off this camera. Me, this kid, and whatever his name, the skeptic, were outside. And this kid looked like he flipped a switch as soon as Anton turned the camera off. And he said, yep, it's off. Because allegedly what he said is that Charlie needs to communicate with these spirits, and it's basically like having a radio tuned to a different station, so he can't communicate with them when this camera is on, because it's an electronic thing, it's blocking the energy or whatever. So that was the thing that we needed to see to get it out of there, or whatever he said at the beginning, was right, to turn the camera off.
That was quite a major thing, and the only thing that I'm hoping that it worked is just... If anyone's wondering, and if you did use to look at the Trundle Cam just to see what Little Devil was doing in the middle of the night, or just to catch a glimpse of us randomly nakedly running around, then, well, that was the best part of it. You guys couldn't save it. I could save people nakedly running around the house.
There's an app for that.
Could have ended.
Yes. But I turned it, so that's why it's off. That's why the Trundle Cam's off, because I'm kind of doing my own experiment, because I did have, in the past...
Night terrors.
Yeah, in the past, it started in the wintertime, but I started having night terrors that were waking me up, and it was something even stronger than my old past. And I don't know if that was, because my family does have, like, a slight amount of schizophrenia that's built in, and in fact... my uncle just died of natural causes, but he was a full-blown schizophrenic, and he lived in Swissville. He didn't live too far from here, but the family never really talked to him because of it. And I know that my grandfather has a little tiny bit of it. My dad probably has a tiny bit, and I think I do too. But I was afraid of that being what it was. So I've been doing pretty well since we've turned everything off, and that might have just been...
Haven't gone crazy yet?
Not full blown.
I can't speak
outside
for that.
Outside of the norm, I mean.
Yes.
But it might just be me, you know, finally coming down from having winter break. But
because the kid said that the house is blocked up with spirits, it's like a pipe that is being blocked up because all these spirits are coming here to talk to Charlie and get their tours, and they can't because this camera is blocking them. So that's what was causing Anton's night terrors or whatever. So who knows? Who knows what that is? And that was...
It's our own experiment.
The earliest part of that evening.
I mean, there's a lot that can be said about the power of suggestion to stop nightmares and night terrors and stuff. Mm. But it's intriguing. It's intriguing if he could not see into the windows and he suddenly knew that the power was off. Like, if that truly happened, that's kind of an interesting take. And he very well could be 99.9% hooey, and then that 0.1% is just something that he got, but the problem is it's trying to separate the wheat from the chaff that always makes things fun.
Which, like, it reminds me almost of, like, the very first time, Armin, you and I hung out. One of your frequents at the manor had recently stopped coming round, and you turned to me and said, Billy, you're new to the manor. Why do you think I can't keep people around? And I look you up and down, and before I can stop myself, I blurt out, well, the megalomania can't help.
And if you listen to any part of that interview before this roundup, then you'll definitely see my megalomania coming out as I tell the ghost to shut the fuck up multiple times.
Yes, and this was after me having known you for, like...
10 minutes.
10 minutes, seriously. I'd met you once, maybe a week before, and we were going to go out for an event or something, and I thought, oh, fuck, I just totally snowed myself with this whole thing, and you just burst out laughing. You're like, oh, yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
And that just goes back to the idea that, like, of cold reading. Like, anyone who has any semblance of the understanding of human nature can do it. If it's not hard. Like, I can do it Anyone can do
that's
it.
That's exactly right. What I was going to say. I mean, it's not a character trait or flaw, but if you go onto the Trundle Manor website and you watch the MTV videos or whatever other videos you have on there, you can get a sense of who you are.
Yes.
On a certain respect. Now, if you know you personally, you know that there's, you know...
It's different when there's a camera in front of you, exactly. But still...
I'm very different when I'm not in front of a camera. You guys... Everybody here, I think, can attest to that.
Yeah.
You've all been yelled at by me. Maybe not Kashmir yet.
Don't yell at her. Yes. I don't want you to yell at her.
I don't want to. All the things it's a disclaimer, that's all.
Can be easily picked up and kind of generalized over, like you said, what I just looked you up before I got here. Well, I can watch all your videos in 30 minutes in a car ride on the way over, too.
Yeah.
So I can get some kind of a sense from you and be like, oh, well, you know, I'm sure if I take a few jabs at this girl, he'll get a little saucy and prove my point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's always, and especially if you're a sociopath, you think on those micro levels 1,000 times.
Yeah.
I know I can definitely, on any given night, depending on what mood... I've known Anton and Rachel for years. I've been at many and many of their parties, and I've seen all sorts of characters float in and out of the ranks of what is this, and I hear this one come up, and I don't find him much different than finding himself inebriated and ingratiating and using some common fact.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I mean, honestly, for him to look up some of this stuff, it wouldn't be that difficult. There are public records. All you'd have to do is look up the address, kind of look up, okay, who owned the real estate? Let me just do a quick search because, oh, it was built in 1910. Oh, there might be a history. It's Pittsburgh, you know?
And that's the other thing, too. If we were just a random house down the block and he came over and started doing this, if we weren't public figures with a Googleable thing, then it would be more credible.
Well, that's why my initial disclaimer, even on that initial interview, is that you said that you're a director, but I don't know anything about you. I mean, for all I know, this is just what you do, you know, to get your name out there. Even though he went as he said, I don't want you to name me or whatever. That's great, but you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not getting something out of it
in the long run. Is that because he's having fun with you?
Maybe.
And he doesn't want to be named? Or
when someone says that they're a sociopath, and then they also say, I'm the only one who's a conduit that the spirit can speak through, so all eyes are on me all night long, that would definitely speak to a sociopath's sense of wanting all the attention.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, and he got it.
He wants to speak to me. Yeah.
I will say, though, that it was fun.
Hey,
it was...
Charlie, what is that again? Oh, hey, fuck you, Rachel.
Oh, hey, thanks, Charlie. Take that into account.
Charlie's your
shut the fuck up, Rachel.
Shut the fuck up. I think I almost decked him towards the end of that a couple times.
Yeah, and
I was very close.
I was trying to keep the
not
peace.
Not even the interview itself, but downstairs.
Yeah.
I've also, gone through the whole night terrors thing and sleep paralysis pretty severely, to a point where I wasn't sleeping for many years. That was before I moved back here, and it was worse before I moved around. But I've moved around to the point, you know, I don't know if it was the area or what I was going through in my life at the time. But yeah, again, going through those issues, which, you know, he's obviously going through his own self-admitted issues, plus a little bit of booze, you know, maybe a little bit of something else in your system. Absolutely. I'm sure you could there might be a recording of me out there doing this same thing that I don't even fucking remember. You know, so, you know, it all depends. You don't know the guy. That's the thing, is you don't know. And, the other guy's like, he says nothing like this. I've never been. Well, have you been drinking with the guy? Have you been out with him while he's going through issues with his relationship or his family? Have you seen him under stress, duress? Have you seen what he does when he wants to manipulate? Like, until you can get a feel for the guy, you can't really... This or that about it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to wait till Polly comes up, but we're going to cut this guy down because this is going to be one of our longest Trundle casts.
Sure.
I think, but I do want to thank... Oh, there she is.
What'd you say about cutting this guy down?
wanted to wait till you were back to end.
You would love that. But I do want to thank all you guys for listening
thank
to that,
so much.
That horrible... That horrible recording of
thanks
us.
Thanks for helping us diagnose whatever happened.
Being as drunk as you usually see us, and this time on the Trundlecast, and halfway believing something, which, you know, I can never discredit. I can always just kind of let it go. But I think in my mind, some of it seemed a little bit okay. as Kazmir said, maybe 99% was bullshit, and that 1% is the only percent that got to him. And I like to think that, and I'm going to try to, because I think that we like the story that Charlie's giving tours.
That's a beautiful story, yeah, you know? And aside from...
If it's true or not, it's a decent story.
Commenting on your drunkenness and my fakeness and this few little critiques, I really do want to believe that there's something to it. I want to believe that life goes on, and I want to believe that somebody who had a tragic or boring or devastating life is now at peace and at purpose. And, like, I mean, it's a good story.
And we had something to do with it.
And that he likes what we do. Like, of course I want to believe that.
Mm. He kind of tugged a little weird at me, too, is that... It was off, because again, I kind of got the feel of him being, you know, crazy or whatever, being an asshole. But the thing that kind of threw me off for a second was the fact that he wanted to say that Charlie wanted to not be remembered as being a hoarder.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for Mr. Arm and myself, collectors, like,
yeah.
I know when someone goes through my base when I die, they're like, look at this fucking trash. Like, yeah. I've had that World War II badge for fucking 15 years. I've not sold it. I've had offers, like... There is that. That's the only thing. I mean, again, that might have just struck me personally, but
yeah,
that's the only thing that kind of threw it off is like a little bit of sentiment sprinkled in with that. But that
me too, it caught me as soon as I said it. I felt terrible as soon as I said it. It's like his parents called him that. It's like your parents calling you a freak, and then somebody else coming in. And it's like, well, no, you can't say that. That's derogatory. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it.
I think it's so great in the fact that if he was someone who collected things, and yet he had two people come in after his death who also collect things, you know, in a way, his legacy lives on.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's really awesome.
It's
so,
like you finished his business, because, like, yeah, he may have been a hoarder in the sense that his collection didn't have order.
Yes.
Like, your collection has order, you know, where everything is, everything's sort of cataloged and accounted for, you know, the story behind everything, you made all this and collected all that, yada yada, but... His collection didn't, in the sense that it was, you know, considered garbage when he died. But right. Like, you,
and that's the thing we heard that
you
night
may have
too.
Finished what he set out to do.
That's why I like shit. But stop fucking drinking, goddammit! You're doing great. You're cleaning up my shit, but please stop drinking. I hated when my father drank. I hated when, just stop. Collect all you want, but stop fucking drinking.
Well, again, the worst. the worst part about. Of hearing that was, sometimes I feel that, and sometimes I feel like I drive people away, and I do drink just to be social.
Fuck as,
I know. Well, it's not going to stop me. It's not going to stop me.
Okay.
But it did hit me a little bit, because I thought, I have been thinking about this a bit lately. So my closing statement is, maybe I'll stop drinking earlier in the night. I'm not going to stop drinking. But maybe I'll switch to water at some point sooner, because then I can keep that two drink.
Or diet, you know, add some more fatty acids or something to absorb it a little better.
Maybe.
Drink the same milk thistle and Sammy.
Oh, yeah,
works really well for your liver.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
I do.
Okay.
I'll make sure you get hooked up.
Good.
Yes, please.
Well, we're gonna go down. There might be pizza coming up that Derek ordered, so I think we're gonna finish up this fun little party downstairs. And again, thank you guys for being a part of this.
Thank you
and
so much.
Thank you for joining the Trundle Cast this evening. And as we always say, a good evening to everybody, if we could do it all at the same time. Ladies and gentlemen of the Trundle Cast,
good evening.
And farewell.
You fucker.
I snaked it. I'm sorry.
Kill yourself. Sorry, Charlie.
Good evening.
really good.
A swinging hold'em team, and then the students all began to yell. The players marched up the field and down the field. Hell now on certain Carolina hill, this is because there's always well. They have it here, they remember still.
Villain Problems, number 43. For the safety of the children, you must remember that even a knife-proof corset has its limits.
Don't tell me how many I've had. Just grab my mashing stick and shove that last corn dog into my mouth.
Oh,
If you are the type to subscribe to both the golden rule of gluttony as well as vanity, make sure to equip General Dacia's ballistic lacing to retain one's 23-inch waist. For more villainous commiseration, listen to the Trundlecast. You know where to find us.
Good evening, Trundle Files. This is Mr. Arm coming to you once again. And with me in the attic, as always, is the lovely and talented Ms. Velda von Vinks.
Hello.
Hey, darling.
Hey.
How's your week been going?
Oh, it's pretty all right.
Been a lot of tours lately. We just had a recent thing that was... What was that? We were on yet another group.
It was Pittsburgh Magazine, the top 8 museums in Pittsburgh you've never heard of, or hidden museums or something. Got a lot of publicity from it.
Yeah, it's always weird when that happens because we tend to get a shitload of tours that just kind of pop up based on that.
Well, you totally called it. You said there must have been a new article published because there were so many, like noticeably so many.
Yeah, and it's not like we had a dry spell, but the last week we had
time
nothing.
Off.
We had almost nothing on the weekend. We had, what, like 4 tours the whole
something,
weekend?
Something, yeah.
You know?
And there was, what, 6 today and 6 yesterday or something
I'm
ridiculous.
I'm sure there would have been more. There were other people looking for tours, but we did not have the time.
Welcome to the weekend.
Welcome to the weekend.
8 o'clock on Sunday night is the weekend, finally.
Yeah, now we can finally drink ourselves into the pit of despair that we
beautiful
love to
oblivion.
Be in. Yeah, wonderful. so we're coming back for yet another Trundlecast, and... last week you got to hear, last Trundlecast, you got to hear the interview that we had with...
Interview with a Ghost?
Yeah, Interview with a Ghost. Interview with Charlie, Trundle Manor's ghost inhabitant, or so we were told, and the guy that was channeling him through it. So, you know, we got together a whole group of people, and I think maybe in the roundup or something... We talked about maybe doing this, but we got together a group of our friends, some of the Trundle Files that frequent the manor at the odd hours and get to experience the things that tourists don't get to see. But
it was a great, diverse group of people, too.
It really was.
We kind of just put out the call that day, and whoever showed up. But the people that we got were really good. Somebody had been raised in a cult, she said. Somebody else had night terrors.
Kashmira was in a cult.
Yes. Derek had night terrors for a while. Terrors. And Polly, you know.
Polly is just very outspoken. So
she's outspoken, fine. So she's wonderful to interview all the time.
Jason is...
He's a hilarious drunk.
Amazing, yeah.
I don't know if anyone's ever seen the show Drunk History, where they basically have a historical event, and they get somebody completely shit-tank wasted,
yes.
And they have them talk about it, and they pause like, and then George Washington, blah, and they have them throwing up. Yeah. Like, it's fucking hilarious. I want Jason to do that for us.
I think he'd be perfect, and I want him to do maybe like haunting... you know, it'd be good. Let's see, what would that be? It would be like he'd be ghost busting essentially.
Ooh.
You're like,
drunk ghost busting.
Like, you know, you don't have a fucking ghost, you're, you know, whatever. And he just actually explains what's going on, but very drunkenly.
Yeah.
Which would be kind
of
fun.
He's got a great drunk.
And our friend Joe, who he didn't talk too much, and I tried to bring him out, but, you know, we want to say. Big congratulations to Joe.
Joe said he just got engaged as of yesterday, as of the fantastic new gay marriage ruling.
Yeah, apparently that came right out, even though Trundle Manor was apparently doing gay marriages before it was cool.
you hipster shit.
Hipster gays.
Yeah.
But congratulations to the gays for getting,
their rights.
The rights to have a marriage, which just seems fucking ridiculous. Otherwise,
seriously.
I don't want to talk too much because I'm not political. Really give a shit.
Anyway, but we're just happy to have more fun events at Trundle Manor.
Yeah.
And we just had a butchelorette party a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cute as hell that she called it that.
They're
wonderful
great
people.
Too. What
yeah.
a wonderful girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's, I guess she teaches kids.
Yeah, I forgot the whole thing. Yeah.
Not kind of middle school,
teacher.
Whatever the other one is.
Yeah, I don't know, but she was really into what we do.
Kind of stuff. But yeah, she was
Made
really
some
cool.
new friends. Anyway.
Anyway, moving on. But yeah, so what an awesome group that we had. And, you know, the entire experience was incredibly embarrassing for me because I had such high hopes. I didn't even listen to the recording since we made it. So I had all these high hopes for how it went. And in my head, the fun stuff is the stuff that actually didn't get recorded, which was... me berating the guy at the end of the night for stealing something and all this kind of stuff. As I played this for our friends, I drank more and more because it was just kind of embarrassing for me, I suppose.
Well, you know, embarrassing, fun.
Yeah.
Well, any reason to drink
anyway.
More.
I just feel like I misled them a little bit. Uh-huh. Anyway. There was some fun things that were going on there. I know that when we brought up drinking, much like right now, there was an uncomfortable silence.
It was a hilariously uncomfortable
silence. A cacophonous.
Silence. Why does Charlie think we drink too much?
Apparently everybody else thinks the same, although that's the way that we are and that's the way they are. So
I also thought it was cute that somebody pointed out that psychics ought to be able to sense the spirits of our spirits. Mm. That the whole, if Charlie thinks we drink too much, then...
Brilliant!
Yes, they should be able to know that the people drinking too much should be able to feel the essence of whatever. Who the fuck knows? It was cute when someone
right,
said it.
Right. And our good friend Jason was putting on the voices, as we said before, and to me it was when he did Charlie's impression.
That's great.
It was the best. I'm going to blow off my face. But you know what? You shouldn't be drinking, too much. You're drinking too much.
Anyway. That's great.
And, you know, something that was brought up by a member of the Trundle Files, a good member, actually, my best man for our upcoming nuptials. Mike Syke.
Hi, Mike. I know you're listening.
Yeah, it was a big call out to Mike Syke, one of our best friends. He's a hell of a guy and one of our biggest supporters and kind of our Uncle Fester. We really appreciate him. Anyway, he always calls us on some bullshit, but he said on the last Trundlecast we didn't talk about the security camera or why it's off, which I swear we did. I think he just didn't hear it.
Well, that's why I mentioned it during this.
Right.
Thing that you're about to hear, because right. I wasn't sure if that had come across.
Yeah, and, you know, the reason that we shut off the camera, and as Velda explained in what you're going to hear next, is we shut off the camera because we were told that there was an interference stopping ghosts from touring the manor and stopping Charlie from being able to let ghosts tour the manor.
They said it was like having a radio, but he was on a different frequency from the other ghosts that need to talk to him when the camera was on.
Okay.
Something like that.
It like muddled his frequency. Or
yes.
Something. Yeah. Okay. So that's why it's been off. We're doing a test. I'm seeing if my night terrors subside for a little bit.
Have they been since any of this?
It's been okay. I think I had one night where... But I went to sleep a lot quicker than I have before.
Good.
So I don't know. I think that was mostly mental.
Yeah.
Too, when you listen to this, if you hear some random bubblings, that is me and my hookah.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for me to deal with a ton of people
it's
without
not a, it's
some
not a
modifier.
Bong.
No, it's not a bong. No, we don't partake in illegal substances.
The reeferish activities.
Yeah, reeferish extent.
Although, do come to Reefer Madness in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And fear
well,
of
that's, you know, that's what's kept me off of marijuana for so long.
He's afraid of going
the
mad,
movie,
hopelessly insane, like all the people. Anton really isn't past 1936 in a couple of ways, and he's just afraid of going horribly,
ways.
Violently insane.
In
which,
just about every way.
Let's be honest, baby, you're kind of there already. I don't think pot would really... Well, whatever.
Well, you know, I was told that I'm not allowed to do...
you can't do acid.
Acid.
You've been told.
Because people are afraid of what's in my mind, which is good for them, because then they can see through the veil of me,
They like
you know,
it in your mind. They don't want to see it come out,
yeah,
so they can partake.
Yeah, nobody really wants to. want to be involved in me slaughtering an entire neighborhood. So anyway, what next do you have?
I've got a few things. Yeah, I like that Kashmira said she feels that there is some kind of energy and heaviness here, some sort of memories. But so somebody who is sensitive, she claims that she's a sensitive, and you know, I definitely believe that. But there's something, not a defined thing, but something.
Yeah.
It's good to hear. I also really enjoyed Polly's, why the fuck did he choose this guy? If Charlie, we've been here since 2007, we've been giving tours since about 2010, and if Charlie hadn't ever spoken up before now? And why this idiot kid? Yeah. I thought that was really great question. Very... The ultimate question,
that was
really
spot on. Yeah, that was pretty damn spot on. That's for sure.
Polly is a sharpshooter, for sure. I also like Derek's thing, do drugs trigger the, you know, talking to spirits, people in other planes of existence? Because at some point during the last recording of Anonymous and whatever, he does say at some point, well, since I'm being anonymous, I took a lot of drugs tonight, by the way. And he just kind of casually says that. Do you remember that?
I don't know. I don't know if he was being serious.
I don't know how much any of it was fucking serious. Yeah. But
I mean, because he didn't seem like he was on drugs. It just seemed like he was weird. You know.
Every time I've seen, even back through the 90s when those ghost shows, ghost hunting things started to become popular, they would always, the first question would be, well, are you on drugs and are you insane? And it, when you saw this thing, he claimed to be a sociopath and take a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
He can't expect anyone to believe him after uttering those things.
You know, whatever. I mean,
yeah, exactly, whatever.
I really don't know what he had to gain from any of this, so that's halfway one of the things that... I mean, other than just fucking around with someone.
Yeah.
I don't know what he would have to gain by being, like, lying to us. Or, you know, saying that
that's
Charlie's
just the thing.
A thing.
Because he didn't ask any money after having talked to us.
Well,
that, you know,
when I grab you by the scruff and throw you out of the house, it's really hard to ask for money.
Well, sure. But he wasn't expecting to gain anything.
No.
And, you know.
That's why I halfway believe it or want to believe it. Because I'm like, really, like, you know, this is just some dude talking.
Yeah.
And what's, you know, what's going to come of this for him? So what does he matter?
It almost feels like it's one of those,
what does it
to go back to the laws of attraction type thing. Like the universe, for some reason, placed this kid in our lap.
Yeah.
Brought him to our door and had this story and this ever unfolding story that we then became a part of and that we had no idea was going to happen, but here's this possibility of what might be. And I don't know if I should say this now or if we ought to save it till after the podcast, but
we're not going to talk after. So.
All right. Well, at the risk of sounding like a complete fucking idiot, after all this and talking
always
to
on
our
the verge,
friends,
darling. Always on the verge.
I ride a fine line. Thank you. I want to believe, you know, you probably know a thing or two about me. I grew up on B-movies and Ed Wood especially. I always want to suspend my disbelief. And even if that makes me the outsider and, you know, the idiot that, oh, well, whatever.
What is this world if you are completely sure that nothing else exists? So,
exactly. I want to believe that there's some... This is positive.
You should want to believe.
This is a positive thing. And, you know, I'm cynical and to some extent. I have a cynical sense of humor and whatever and a problem with authority and whatever that entails. But you know what? I really want to believe in positive, happy things. And I've been telling tours about this.
Right.
There's been a lot of tours that have happened since the original recording and the podcast has come out.
That's off-putting to some extent because I never wanted to advertise Trundle Manor as a ghosty
I say it with
trap.
A heavy disclaimer, though.
Right. And, you know, this was never going to change anything because I still believe that places that make money off of being haunted.
Gettysburg.
That's kind of fucked up.
Nothing for 100 years.
No,
now we're haunted.
No, not even Gettysburg. I'm talking more about, you know, just like little tourist attractions.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Oh, come to the haunted hotel. And
well, I only bring it up if it's...
It just kind of pisses me off.
I honestly only bring it up if we're talking about the podcast.
No, it's fine. It's during the tour. That's okay.
It's during the tour. It's never as an advertisement thing. But I've brought it to a few people that seemed interested.
Right.
And I've said, have you listened to our podcast? And then I kind of briefly give the synopsis of this. And people seem to be happy. And I'll say the bottom line, listen to it. It's weird. We don't know. We don't give a shit. It's whatever. But bottom line is maybe Charlie gives tours to the afterlife. Like, you're on a tour with me right now.
Yeah.
And people think that's charming as fuck, and they love it.
Well, even if that was just a story, that story itself is
incredibly
fascinating.
Yes.
So it's fun and worth telling.
There's a ghost podcast I listen to all the time with allegedly real ghost stories from people. Right. And terrible. I almost want to tell you that.
Terrible fake things. But
I almost want to tell them about this. Maybe there is something more that we don't know. Because
I think
the whole premise,
you should call
Charlie,
in. I'd love to hear your voice on their podcast.
I was going
to
write an email.
No. I want to hear you say it. Your voice is so beautiful.
I was, thanks for writing all the wrongs that Charlie and this kid said.
That made me so mad.
Yeah, but I do want to tell people that maybe there's some kind of possibility. It's like Santa Claus. People,
right.
Miracle on 34th Street. People are happy when they believe Santa Claus is real. And maybe you think you know better. Maybe it behooves you to know better. But you're fucking happy when you believe it. So I'm going to take that stand, and I'm going to think there's something to it.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Go ahead and believe it. Why not?
I like it.
Yeah, who the hell is it hurting?
Nobody. I'm the one who gives tours. I'm the one that talks to people and sees the positive energy from emanating from everybody. Nobody has gotten, you know, weird or negative about anything I've showed them on a tour. One time, a girl had left early, and we didn't know why, but she didn't say anything before
leaving.
That
was leaving. Only, you know, out of
2,500 people as of yesterday.
Thousands of people that had come through Toronto Manor, that was one incident.
And nobody has gotten angry. Nobody's gotten political, or you guys are fucking freaks and you guys are disgusting. Nothing. I've never had negative energy. And if it gets more positive because they believe this too, cool.
Yeah.
Let's have it.
Cool. You know, we'll put this out on the podcast. We'll put this out on the... God, I need to stop saying podcast. We're going to put this out on the Trundlecast. And, you know, we'll put this out there as far as this goes, but it will not be advertised on Trundle Manor's website. I'm going to put that out there now, and I hope to God that I don't go back on my word and somebody looks this up and goes, you said you wouldn't do this.
Yeah.
I really don't think I will, because I've never really been into that, because it's a non-provable thing, and then you're just lying to people.
No, and we're not here. We're not in the business of lying to people. And by the way, could you imagine how many fucking ghost tour idiot, like, retired people groups or whatever from across the country would be coming to the house like, let's see the ghosts. Like, people would be dipshits, and I don't want to deal with that.
Right.
I want people to like us for what we are, and so does Charlie.
Right. That's what we hear.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this kid being a bit of a sociopath, and you were on a roll, so I didn't interrupt you.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I always thought that I might be that too, but I really don't think I am. I really try to think of other people.
You might become a sociopath at some point if there is schizophrenia. It happens late in life, but you're very self-aware.
But I feel like sociopaths are people that don't care about the effect on other human beings.
That's what it is. Psychopaths
care very much about that.
They're doing wrong and they get off on it, but sociopaths literally don't know the difference.
I'd be a lot richer if I was a sociopath.
That's true. You better use that shit to your advantage if and when it does happen to you.
Yeah.
I really hope that you prosper.
Well,
with that.
As Paulie said, I am much more of a megalomaniac than that.
Right.
I'll attest to, because that's what keeps me going. That's fine, and every artist should be a megalomaniac.
Are we ending this talking about you again, darling?
Why not? Why not? I'm the one producing this goddamn podcast. I know, and also, like, during this entire thing that you're about to hear, you know, it's to be understood that Toronto Manor is not much into illegal drugs, but booze is what makes the manor go around.
Clearly.
You know, because that lowers the inhibitions and allows you to be as debaucherous as you should be.
That's our thing, like, and maybe that's a reason that we've never, not that we need a reason not to do drugs, but I guess a lot of them do taint what you're seeing or hallucinate or whatever,
right.
But booze is like truth serum.
It is.
It doesn't make you lie, it just makes you be incredibly, unfortunately fucking truthful and
very
yelly.
Yeah, but I like that. That's almost like having a rite of passage where...
It's like not giving a shit anymore.
It's like going into the tent with the elders of the tribe and just telling them what you actually think about their wrinkly, horrible skin.
Yeah.
Like that kind of a thing.
Which is very freeing in a way.
Oh, it's incredibly freeing. And I think that's, you know, that's a decent rite of passage. Actually, getting blackout drunk with Toronto Manor is one of the best ways to indoctrinate
yourself. It's a transcendent experience.
It's the best way to damn it, you fucked up my words.
Sorry.
Ah, we're drinking Trundle Break.
Hey, I'm out, by the way. Give me that decanter, darling.
Alright, I'm going to stop talking for a bit while I make Velda and me some more drinks.
Thank you.
So here we go. Good. Tell us a little bit about a few of the tours. Are there any tours that struck you lately?
Oh, God, there were so many recently. I'm trying to think. a very good tours that have happened. You know, they're all very good. I forgot to tell you actually. Clink clink clink. Before the very last tour I did today, there was a painting that was sitting outside the front door.
What?
I didn't even tell you. I forgot. What? Because they were so loud and energyful, so I was consumed with them. And there was no note on it, and it was just like...
Just hanging out outside the door?
Yes. It was like leaning against the corner.
What?
And it was some weird seagull or something that somebody had painted. And I don't know if it was somebody that we knew, but they didn't leave a note, so I don't know.
Maybe it was like Eve or something?
I thought Eve would have texted, and I looked at my phone, and she hadn't. It looked like a thrift store type painting, and I'm really sorry if I'm insulting somebody who loves us very much and did a painting for us and didn't put their name on it. But it's behind the bar right now. It's got a frame. I don't know. It just was out there because I saw, like, what the fuck is this leaning against? I don't know. So that happens. People do literally leave things on our front porch. When you were in the hospital, somebody left a clown painting in the driveway.
Did you check the pink...
No, I didn't step fully outside. Okay, I just saw it as I opened the door.
Maybe they wrote a little note on the while you were out stickers that we have.
Yes, I will take a look when this is over.
Which is very important. So if you show up to Toronto Manor and we are not here and you want to leave something, we have while you were out pink note stickers.
I mean, anonymous is fine if you care to be anonymous, but we want to know. Like, I mean, we'll give you credit.
Give me some kind
of
story.
We're happy to know.
You know, that's fun. Oh, Jason just texted me. Hopefully he'll do the drunk things.
Oh, please, Jason, be a segment.
He didn't write anything about it. Oh, he just said it sounds fun.
Oh.
Oh. Oh, you anus.
It sounds like fun. Come over. Tell him to come over.
It's Russ, darling.
Oh.
All over myself, as usual.
This is why I get changed to eat.
This is why I wear the same clothes every day.
Sometimes we have like a half an hour in between tours, but God damn it, I will use every last minute. I will get changed so I don't spill tacos and ramen on my 1910s tea dress, and I will take a nap so hard. Oh, my God.
Velda puts 110% into actually
each moment
doing the tours. So please appreciate those goddamn things.
Yes. If I have to wait, 3.5 hours to eat that cake that's been sitting in there and staring at me. It's taking everything in me to not toss you out on your ass and eat that cake in front of you.
Doesn't the weight help you out a little bit, though? It makes you want it more.
Oh, yeah. Clearly. Anything worth getting is not gotten easily. I mean, I've always believed that. So I don't mind the waiting game. I don't mind, having to deal with it for a while.
One of the last things that I wrote down was that Charlie had an issue with the word hoarder.
Yes.
And how, and it's something that we don't really talk about, and I would almost understand that. I mean, and he can get this from any one of the hoarder shows, a very good input into how hoarders actually see themselves.
Ooh, that gives me a thought.
And the fact that he said that Charlie doesn't like,
the term. It's a derogatory term.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. Even though, like, earlier on, he used the term.
Yeah, the kid used it twice, and I said it, and he yelled at me.
Right.
Once again, what the fuck did I fucking do?
I don't know. He just didn't like your face or something.
Whatever.
I don't know.
Like his face.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole thing. That whole thing made me upset. I'm definitely biased because he was a cunt.
Pretty much everybody that we've had listened to said what's wrong with that kid.
Right.
Everybody I've said, like, fuck that guy. Like, all right, I don't know. He was there. He seemed charming enough for an idiot sociopath.
I have no idea how you put up with that garbage as much as you did.
I was trying. I am good at taking criticism.
Yeah, I know. Weird.
I'm good at ignoring people, and I'm good at taking criticism.
Right.
I can convert it into fuel somehow. I don't know what the fuck my problem is. Yeah. I should just... Well, I need more truth serum liquor booze, apparently. Just start knocking people out.
More liquor booze.
I need more liquor booze, please. the hoarder thing, sorry. Because that does lead to something.
He brought up how Charlie doesn't like being called a hoarder, and how, he I don't think he would consider himself a collector, although I will say that I have no idea what was in the house.
I am so curious. I almost want to go. We ought to go to the library or the borough or something that may have records or photos, because I'd love to see. I've never seen it.
I know. I feel like what we should do is we should go to the goddamn police shop and ask if they have any pictures from that scene.
The police or the morgue?
You'd have to imagine that they'd have, I don't know, but the morgue having something. I don't think that we have evidence. A morgue, to be honest with you.
Yes, Allegheny County Morgue. I mean...
Oh, Allegheny. Yeah.
To have photos of where he was found, at least, you know, of the bedroom.
I guess I meant Swissville. I didn't know.
Oh. If there was a Swissville morgue, baby, I'd have been working there years ago. Come on.
Yeah, definitely.
But, no, the hoarder thing is so funny, because I don't even know if you remember, but this guy came over on a weekday.
Yeah.
Because I remember going to work the next day hungover, but... That whole weekend before, we'd spent watching Hoarders, that show, because it finally came up on Netflix.
Weird.
And some, you know, I've heard about it for years. We're not big reality show people, and it kind of almost resonates because of what we do. For whatever the hell reason.
Well, I mean, it's not exactly like we're not hoarders or anything.
No, I mean, we kind of sort of are in a way, but it was just very odd to me that weekend we were watching it, and it kind of disturbed me. I very much got in those people's heads.
Yeah, me too. I started trying to find stuff to throw away after that.
I was so excited to clean out all my rooms, because you get in those people's heads. It's less about what they collect, and it's more about the psychological impact. And of course, they go into their personal past, and they get very personal. It's very embarrassing. Like, I felt... I'm kind of, I don't want to say I'm an empath, but I get very empathetic about the way that those people are portrayed and how fucking sad it is. The people that have animal hoarders, like the people that have shit all over their house.
Oh, that's like, that is disgusting.
That's,
I can't even come close to getting into the minds of people like that.
I feel like I can smell it through the TV and it's upsetting.
Ugh.
But I feel like
I don't even like scooping Little Devil's box and being in that closet while I'm doing it.
Sure.
It just freaks me
out.
Just
that little bit of normal amount is upsetting. But the fact that, like, that is a human being that stops loving themselves to a point where they can be surrounded by... They need shovels. They literally bring in shit shovels to shovel shit off of their carpet where these people live and fall asleep on every day. And it makes me so sick and so upset.
Yeah.
But whatever. We got very intense with that show.
Oh, yeah.
And then this kid came over. And the Hoarders thing was so... There's a reason we watched
that. That was right after our Hoarders...
Yes, like days after, a day or two after. He came on Monday or Tuesday. No, I just thought of this for the first time in a while. Like, there was so a reason for us to watch that at that time.
Yeah.
There was a reason we did that. Everything happens for a reason.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're all put onto our own path that I think is, you know, I don't really believe in a specific god myself, and we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, so, I mean, fate makes a little bit of sense to me, but what really makes sense to me is luck. So I think we just kind of lucked into the idea that, oh, it's time to watch Hoarders, you know. But,
yeah, I don't know what I call my beliefs. I don't know if I'm an agnostic of some sort, but
what's that mean? Does that mean no deity? Or?
That means not necessarily believing that there's nothing. Like, you don't subscribe to a religion, but there might be something.
Oh, okay.
You don't know, but there might be something.
Right.
I believe that there's...
Well, I think if you don't do that, that doesn't make any sense, because... I mean,
I'm not a nihilist. I don't believe in nothing and blackness and it being in a hole.
You can't prove there isn't anything. Oh, little devil's here.
Hi, little devil. Little devil's in the studio right now.
He's our god.
Oh, yes, I know.
He's our little god.
He gets petted and fed all the time. No, I believe that everything happens for a reason. That the universe throws things your way and that there is most certainly a reason for that. And you need to be able to recognize those opportunities.
As long as you can go along with it, then you'll be okay.
Yes.
And I feel like that's why... Maybe, you know, whatever. Me calling it luck might work out because...
Whatever you do works for you.
Right.
And I think whatever I think works for me, so I...
Yeah.
So
no, I'm not going to change your mind. I don't give a shit. But in my mind, you know, I believe in luck, which is like, I have big luck, so I'm never going to be some poor homeless man because no matter what I do, I'm going to stay pretty much in the same place.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people don't have that, you know. Although... Most people end up staying in the same place no matter what. Like our really good friend, this is degrading a little bit to
degrade people.
No, I mean, this is degrading into a different kind of conversation than what we started with. But just to make it quick, you know, one of our close friends moved, you know, she had an issue, and then she moved away from Pittsburgh and tried to start a new life. And although her life is different, it's not like better than it was when she lived here in any way.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people, and maybe it's the whole like being a new soul versus an old soul kind of thing. Maybe you don't understand that the problem is within you. If you have a problem, like, if you go to any other city...
Oh, we understand that.
That problem will still be there.
That's why we're able to change certain things.
Yeah. But
I feel like people like that, they don't... They're looking for an escape, inside,
and there's nothing wrong with that. Lord knows I'm an escapist to the highest degree every day of my life.
Yeah.
But, you know, if there's a problem, it's normally something that you need to work out on your own.
Right.
You always, you know, have something that's not there if it's not there.
Yeah, I think it's very important for people to, you know, be able to pay attention to the signs that are inside of yourself. Little Devil is now headbutting my chair because he wants so many pettings.
He's so excited.
So many pettings. Did you feed him dinner, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
He got dinner early.
He moved my chair with his head. He's so strong.
I don't know if we've mentioned Little Devil's corner in the office or if that's even important. He has his own ashtray and switchblade and little booze glass.
Mr. Arm's office has been transformed. This is where we do in the attic of Trundle Manor. This is where we do the podcast.
Technically his office, yeah.
This is where we do the podcast. This is where I meet new people. This is where I hang out to do my own work. It is the hottest room during the summer and the coldest room during the winter. It's uninsulated. But it's as old world as you can possibly get, so I feel very comfortable in this place. And in the very corner, and right next to my desk, so that he can sit there when he wants to, is a tiny chair, I think made for children, that was made around the turn of the century.
It looks like it, yeah.
And he's got his own little table with an ashtray, a switchblade, his little white leather gloves. And now, thanks to Velda, a glass matching hers.
Oh, my God.
Completely.
It's as dumb as it is. It's a set of Avon glasses. It's this big gothic
red, drunk-proof goblet.
It's badass as hell. There's a whole set. But I found at a flea market, there's a set of shot glasses. And it's like the baby version of mine.
It's so perfect. What a wonderful way for our baby to be just like Mama.
I wanted to use it as a shot glass. There's two of them. But I'm like... Fuck, the cat needs that drink.
Oh, it's so great. And I was so glad that you were willing to part with
it. Oh, my God. Well, there's another one. But yeah.
No. Well, I don't think you could take his glass away now.
I could never take anything away from this cat. I would cut off my own arms before I took something away from this cat. You don't even know.
Oh, anyway. So if you're lucky.
Hey, listen to our podcast. Listen to our interview next.
If you're lucky enough to frequent Trundle Manor enough where we call you up for a podcast, this is where you're going to be. And on that note, I think we're going to let you listen to our good friends. And I think this is one of the more entertaining,
it is entertaining,
recordings that I have made with our buddies. So listen to this. This might be you someday. What do you think?
I think it should be you someday.
And make sure that if you did not listen to the previous Trundlecast, that you listen to the previous one. Because
it'll make more sense that way.
You will have no idea what's going on if you do not listen to last Trundlecast, Trundlecast number 9. So this is Mr. Arm bidding you a good evening, as always.
And Velda von Minx bidding you pleasant nightmares.
Ooh, you bitch, you've one-upped me.
It's not mine, I can't claim that.
I still love it. Good evening, folks. Well, there you have it, Trundle Files. Yet another Trundle cast wrapping up. I'm Mr. Arm. I had a good time talking to you guys and talking to the people at Trundle Manor. I hope that you enjoyed listening to us. This week we talked about an empath and the people that wanted to make fun of him after that. So that's the conclusion, I suppose, of what Charlie is, our resident ghost and the channeled spirit of Trundle Manor. Who knows what to make of that, really? I sure don't. We had a villain... villain problems section, which I think we're going to keep up with. So look forward to those just popping up randomly. We, of course, just continuously talked about that guy that made fun of Velda most of the time, which made everybody hot on the collar. And I've been hearing a lot of reviews of the last Toronto cast and how much everybody hated that guy. So that's fun. I just wanted to lay out that normal side, meaning that possibly something was going on. Because I love the story and I wanted it to be real to some extent. Except for, of course, his hatred of Velda. Okay, well, upcoming next week, I know that we've got a lot of different things on the burner. You know, we just ended up doing a special event for the Cultural Trust of Pittsburgh. And we're going to have to talk about that at some point, where we actually brought together the traveling show once again, which that has been quite a long time since we had that out. At least a year, I think, or more. And we just got booked to do the Carnegie Museum's Haunted Museum Tour. So we're probably going to try to have the trunk show at that. So we're leaving that all tied together. Why not, you know? Also, we just got inducted into this paranormal conference of some sorts. Paranormal conference. It's something called HillCon, or I think it's at Hillcrest Manor, which is in Newcastle, PA. So we're going to be going to that. I don't know what we're bringing, but they wanted us there for some reason. I offered to give a talk about getting people involved in their own tourist traps, but they said that they were booked up on on speakers. Someday we'll do a panel on that, because we've been through quite a lot here at Trundle Manor, and I just kind of want to get it out there. So, again, I hope that you folks, the Trundle Files out there, loved our little Trundle cast and what we had. I'm going to wrap everything up with Velda's movie Trivia Vault, which is going to be after this and between our actual exit. And again, for Velda von Minx, Trundle Manor, all of its inhabitants, I'm Mr. Arm. Good evening.
Well, hello, Trundle Files. I hope you enjoyed tonight's podcast. And now, for a bit of classic film trivia for those of you who choose to live in the pictures like we do. Tonight's question is, which classic movie star traded in her glamorous-sounding birth name, Lucille LeSueur, for a much more ordinary-sounding name by which she became superstar famous? Join us again next week for the answer. If you can wait that long, farewell, Trundle Files.
I can't tell if we're haunted or not from all that rabble. Just as well, I've been told ghosts don't like me all that much. I'd like to say I hope you enjoyed my little villain problems interlude, but I don't really care one way or the other. I'm hoping to let this squirrely little guy out of my trunk to wrap up the rest of this dreck. If he's good. 'Cause I'm a mite peckish, and I thought I saw a rat scurry under that armoire. Get out, little man.
Oh, stay away from me. Stay away. My little Trundle Files. I don't know where I just was or what happened, but I can assure you I wasn't overpowered by one of Mr. Arm's goons and thrown into a trunk. Of course not. I'm just glad I'm back. And I don't think I could have been away from you for any longer, listeners. I missed you too much. I guess I also missed this Trundlecast. So I'll just say a thank you to Little Devil, for the use of his seating arrangement for this week's cover. And once again, to Brian Vamp for our intro music, which you can find at ReverbNation.com/Brian Vamp. That's B-R-Y-A-N Vamp. Tune in for the next Trundlecast, folks, and while you're waiting, visit TrundleManor.com, where you'll be able to see a list of all of our future events, like gallery shows and movie nights, or book a tour and experience the manor all by yourself. Be sure to peruse our videos and photo pages to get a glimpse into the lives of its inhabitants. And you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr just by typing Trundle Manor into their search boxes. Don't forget to send your stories of Trundle Manor, both unusual and unnatural, to the Trundlecast at TrundleManor.com. We may even read them right here. Now be more aware than I was of that hulking figure by your bedroom door, because we wouldn't want you to miss the next Trundlecast.